College English Test, Band 4. Listening Comprehension.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the centre. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. What was it like working with those young stars?
It was a great group. I always got mad when people said that we didn't get along, just because we're girls. There was never a fight. We had a great time.
What does the woman mean? Question 12. Are you telling me you don't have a housekeeper?
No, we don't. If you make a mess, you clean it up yourself.
What do we learn from this conversation?
Question 13. I hear that the Edwards are thinking of buying another house.
Should they be doing that with all the other expenses they have to pay? Anyhow, they are over 70 now. Their present house is not too bad.
What does the man imply?
Question 14. You look like you're freezing to death. Why don't you put this on?
Thank you. It was so warm at noon, I didn't expect the weather to change so quickly.
What do we learn from the conversation? Question 15. I'll have the steak, French fries, and let's see, chocolate ice cream for dessert.
Uh-oh, you know these things will ruin your health. Too much fat and sugar. How about ordering some vegetables and fruit instead?
Where did the conversation most probably take place? Question 16. What was it like growing up in New York's Bronx district? Was it safe?
To me it was. It was all I knew. My mum would send me to the shop and I'd go and buy things when I was about 8 years old.
What do we learn from the conversation? Question 17. Nice weather, isn't it? I've seen you around the office, but I don't think we've met. I'm Henry Smith. I work in the market research section.
Nice to meet you, Henry. I'm Helen Grant. I'm in the advertising section on the 9th floor.
What can we infer from the conversation? Question 18. Ma'am, I hear you have an apartment for rent. Can I take a look at it?
Sure. You're welcome any time by appointment. But I have to tell you, the building is close to a railway. With the noise, you might as well save the trip.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Now you will hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1. Please have a seat, Mr. Saunders. I received your resume last week and was very impressed.
Thank you.
We're a small financial company, trading mostly stocks and bonds. May I ask why you're interested in working for us?
Your company has an impressive reputation, and I've always wanted to work for a smaller company.
That's good to hear. Would you mind telling me a little bit about your present job?
I'm currently working in a large international company in charge of a team of 8 brokers. We buy and sell stocks for major clients worldwide.
Why do you think you're the right candidate for this position?
As a head broker, I have a lot of experience in the stock market. I deal with clients on a daily basis, and I enjoy working with people.
Well, you might just be the person we've been looking for. Do you have any questions?
Uh-huh. If I were hired, how many accounts would I be handling?
You'd be working with 2 other head brokers. In other words, you'd be handling about a third of our clients.
And who would I report to?
Directly to me.
I see. What kind of benefits package do you offer?
2 weeks of paid vacation in your first year of employment. You'll also be entitled to medical and dental insurance, but this is something you should discuss with our personnel department. Do you have any other questions?
No, not at the moment.
Well, I'll have to discuss your application with my colleagues, and we'll get back to you early next week.
Okay, thanks. It's been nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you too, and thanks for coming in today.
Question 19. What's the purpose of Mr. Saunders' visit? Question 20. What is Mr. Saunders' current job? Question 21. What can we conclude from the conversation? Conversation 2. Hey, Karen, you're not really reading it, are you?
Pardon?
The book. You haven't turned a page in the last 10 minutes.
No, Jim, I suppose I haven't. I need to get through it, though, but I keep drifting away.
So it doesn't really hold your interest?
No, not really. I wouldn't bother with it, to be honest. But I have to read it for a seminar. I'm at the university.
It's a labor of labor, then, rather than a labor of love.
I should say. I don't like Dickens at all, really, the author. Indeed, I'm starting to like the whole course less and less.
It's not just the book, it's the course as well?
Yeah, in a way. Although the course itself isn't really that bad. A lot of it is pretty good, in fact, and the lecturers are fine. It's me, I suppose. You see, I wanted to do philosophy rather than English, but my parents talked me out of it.
So the course is okay as such. It's just that, had it been left to you, you would have chosen a different one.
Oh, they had my best interests at heart, of course, my parents. They always do, don't they? They believed that my job prospects would have been pretty limited with a degree in philosophy. Plus, they give me a really generous allowance. But I'm beginning to feel that I'm wasting my time and their money. They would be so disappointed, though, if I told them I was quitting. Question 22. Why can't Karen concentrate on the book? Question 23. Why is Karen starting to like the course less and less? Question 24. Who thinks philosophy graduates have limited job opportunities? Question 25. What is Karen thinking of doing?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. In Greece, only rich people will rest in peace forever when they die. Most of the population, however, will be undisturbed for only 3 years. Then they will be dug up, washed, compressed into a small tin box, and placed in a bone room. If the body has only partially decayed, it is reburied in a smaller, cheaper grave. But not for long. The body will be dug up again some time later when it has fully decayed. Buying a piece of land for a grave is the only way to avoid this process. The cost of a grave is so great that most people choose to rent a grave for 3 years. And even after being dug up, lasting peace is still not guaranteed. If no one pays for renting space in the bone room, the skeleton is removed and stored in a building in a poor part of the town. Lack of space in Athens is the main reason why the dead are dug up after 3 years. The city is so overcrowded that sometimes dead bodies are kept in hospitals for over a week until a grave is found. Athens City Council wants to introduce cremation, that is, burning dead bodies as a means of dealing with the problem. But the Greek church resists this practice. They believe the only place where people burn is hell. So burning dead bodies is against the Greek concept of life after death. To save space, the church suggested burying the bodies standing up instead of lying down. Some people proposed building multi-story underground graveyards.
Question 26. What must Greeks do to keep the dead resting in everlasting peace? Question 27. Why are most dead bodies in Athens dug up after 3 years? Question 28. What suggestions does the church give about the burying of dead bodies? Question 29. What practice does the Greek church object to? Passage 2. If you visit a big city anywhere in the world, you will probably find a restaurant which serves the food of your native country. Most large cities in the United States offer an international sample of foods. Many people enjoy eating the food of other nations. This is probably one reason why there are so many different kinds of restaurants in the United States. A second reason is that many Americans come from other parts of the world. They enjoy tasting the foods of their native lands. In the city of Detroit, for example, there are many people from Western Europe, Greece, Latin America, and the Far East. There are many restaurants in Detroit which serve the foods of these areas. There are many other international restaurants, too. Americans enjoy the foods in these restaurants as well as the opportunity to better understand the people and their way of life. One of the most common international restaurants to be found in the United States is the Italian restaurant. The restaurant may be a small business run by a single family. The mother of the family cooks all of the dishes, and the father and children serve the people who come to eat there. Or it may be a large restaurant owned by several different people who work together in the business. Many Italian dishes that Americans enjoy are made with meats, tomatoes, and cheese. They are very delicious and tasty.
Question 30. Why are there so many international restaurants in the United States? Question 31. Why do Americans like to go to international restaurants apart from enjoying the food there? Question 32. How is a typical Italian family restaurant run in the United States? Passage 3. One winter day in 1891, a class at a training school in Massachusetts, USA, went into the gym for their daily exercises. Since the football season had ended, most of the young men felt they were in for a boring time. But their teacher, James Naismith, had other ideas. He had been working for a long time on a new game that would have the excitement of American football. Naismith showed the men a basket he had hung at each end of the gym and explained that they were going to use a round European football. At first, everybody tried to throw the ball into the basket, no matter where he was standing. "Pass! Pass!" Naismith kept shouting, blowing his whistle to stop the excited players. Slowly, they began to understand what was wanted of them. The problem with the new game, which was soon called basketball, was getting the ball out of the basket. They used ordinary fruit baskets with bottoms. And the ball, of course, stayed inside. At first, someone had to climb up every time a basket was scored. It was several years before someone came up with the idea of removing the bottom of the basket and letting the ball fall through. There have been many changes in the rules since then, and basketball has become one of the world's most popular sports.
Question 33. What did Naismith do to entertain his students one winter day? Question 34. According to the speaker, what was the problem with the new game? Question 35. How was the problem with the new game solved?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks with the exact words you have just heard. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
For Americans, time is money. They say, you only get so much time in this life, you'd better use it wisely. The future will not be better than the past or present, as Americans are trained to see things, unless people use their time for constructive activities. Thus, Americans admire a well-organized person, one who has a written list of things to do and a schedule for doing them. The ideal person is punctual and is considerate of other people's time. They do not waste people's time with conversation or other activity that has no visible beneficial outcome. The American attitude toward time is not necessarily shared by others, especially non-Europeans. They are more likely to regard time as something that is simply there around them, not something they can use. One of the more difficult things many students must adjust to in the States is the notion that time must be saved whenever possible and used wisely every day. In this context, the fast food industry can be seen as a clear example of an American cultural product. McDonald's, KFC, and other fast food establishments are successful in a country where many people want to spend the least amount of time preparing and eating meals. As McDonald's restaurants spread around the world, they have been viewed as symbols of American society and culture, bringing not just hamburgers, but an emphasis on speed, efficiency, and shiny cleanliness.
Now the passage will be read again.
For Americans, time is money. They say, you only get so much time in this life, you'd better use it wisely. The future will not be better than the past or present, as Americans are trained to see things, unless people use their time for constructive activities. Thus, Americans admire a well-organized person, one who has a written list of things to do and a schedule for doing them. The ideal person is punctual and is considerate of other people's time. They do not waste people's time with conversation or other activity that has no visible beneficial outcome. The American attitude toward time is not necessarily shared by others, especially non-Europeans. They are more likely to regard time as something that is simply there around them, not something they can use. One of the more difficult things many students must adjust to in the States is the notion that time must be saved whenever possible and used wisely every day. In this context, the fast food industry can be seen as a clear example of an American cultural product. McDonald's, KFC, and other fast food establishments are successful in a country where many people want to spend the least amount of time preparing and eating meals. As McDonald's restaurants spread around the world, they have been viewed as symbols of American society and culture, bringing not just hamburgers, but an emphasis on speed, efficiency, and shiny cleanliness.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
For Americans, time is money. They say, you only get so much time in this life, you'd better use it wisely. The future will not be better than the past or present, as Americans are trained to see things unless people use their time for constructive activities. Thus, Americans admire a well-organized person, one who has a written list of things to do and a schedule for doing them. The ideal person is punctual and is considerate of other people's time. They do not waste people's time with conversation or other activity that has no visible beneficial outcome. The American attitude toward time is not necessarily shared by others, especially non-Europeans. They are more likely to regard time as something that is simply there around them, not something they can use. One of the more difficult things many students must adjust to in the States is the notion that time must be saved whenever possible and used wisely every day. In this context, the fast food industry can be seen as a clear example of an American cultural product. McDonald's, KFC, and other fast food establishments are successful in a country where many people want to spend the least amount of time preparing and eating meals. As McDonald's restaurants spread around the world, they have been viewed as symbols of American society and culture, bringing not just hamburgers, but an emphasis on speed, efficiency, and shiny cleanliness.
This is the end of listening comprehension.